Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for your word, a word that speaks of fiery chariots of freedom, a word that speaks of following you. Help us, O Lord, each to hear in it your word for us, to know it as your truth for us. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. There's a story told of a prosperous young investment banker who's driving his new BMW sedan. He's on a mountain road in a snowstorm, and he veers around one sharp turn and he loses control and begins sliding off the road towards a steep cliff. At the last minute, he unbuckled his seatbelt, flung open the door, and leaped from the car, which then plummeted to the bottom of the ravine and burst into a ball of flames. Although he had escaped with his life, the man suffered a ghastly injury. Somehow his arm had been caught near the hinge of a door as he jumped, and his arm had been torn off at the shoulder. A passing trucker saw the accident in his rearview mirror, pulled his rig to a halt, and ran back to see if he could help. When he arrived at the scene, he found the banker standing at the roadside, looking down at his BMW burning below, and incredibly, he was oblivious to his injury. And he was moaning, "My BMW! My new BMW!" And the trucker pointed out, "You've got a bigger problem than that car, fella. We've got to find your arm. Maybe the surgeon can sew it back on." And the banker looked at where his arm had been, paused a moment, and groaned, "Oh, my Rolex! My new Rolex!" Obviously, the man had taken leave of his senses and lost all sense of priorities in his life. And that's what Jesus is talking about today, priorities. And perhaps our need to rearrange them. But I think we have to begin with the obvious, the so-called elephant in the room when we hear this gospel passage. It's not an easy one to listen to. Jesus seems, in fact, to have taken leave of his own senses. There seems to be no room for bargaining in the words of Jesus. Let the dead bury their own dead. How cold does that sound? That does not have a ring of compassion about it. How does this passage deal with family values that we hear so much about today? Family values, a buzzword. It talks about placing spouse and children and extended family before all else. Although I must admit that many of those who seem to talk the loudest about family values seem to have the most problems with them. It might help, though, to understand what's going on here a little bit if we look at what Jesus has to say about family values. Jesus says in another area of the Gospels that his mission will divide families, setting children against parents, parents against children. And he certainly was right with that. In Luke chapter 8, verses 19 to 21, Jesus is presented as turning away his mother and his brothers with the retort, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Sarah Brewer, the writer of the lectionary blog, Dylan's blog, writes concerning this passage, "I think it's clear that Jesus meant this, call no one on earth father and follow me, and let the dead bury their dead." He means all that stuff pretty literally. A good test of whether this is so would be to take a look at the canonical Gospels and see whether you can find a single instance of Jesus suggesting that those he called needed their earthly father's permission or blessing to do anything, including abandoning fields or fishnets, as well as family, to follow him. Indeed, when someone called by Jesus asked to go back only to say goodbye to his family, Jesus says, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus is saying, put God first, even before your family. Now, part of the problem with this, and our dealing with these words, is that we feel that we live in this age of scarcity and abundance. In other words, if you have more of one thing, then you have less of another thing. What I mean by that is if we make God our father and mother our priority, then don't we shortchange our family? Blair Moffat, who was one of the staff members of my Credo group, once said, "We live under the assumption that if we make one thing a priority over another, that the other loses out. We feel that if we put God first, then we will have God and nothing else." The reality, though, is if we put God first, then it will only enhance our family life. Dr. Fred Craddock once said, "Those who put God first over the best things in their life, and for most of us, that's our family, have been freed from possession and worship of family and have found the distance necessary to love them." Let me say that again. Those who put God first over the best things in their life have been freed from possession and worship of family and have found the distance necessary to love them. The truth is, when we put family, work, or something else first, we do them a great disservice. We tend to overlook the imperfections. We tend to exploit them. A perfect illustration of this is a former NFL coach. The coach, when coaching on the college level, had a wife and the appearance of a marriage because it was expected of college football coaches. The wife and family was needed for social occasions. The day he was named head coach of an NFL team, he set about to rid himself of this excess baggage. He threw her away like yesterday's newspaper. He didn't need her anymore, and he didn't lose any time in losing her. He confessed that he never bought his boys birthday or Christmas presents. He just didn't have the time and they weren't a priority. So he single-mindedly threw himself into his football team and the team made it to the top. Number one, they won the Super Bowl more than once. So what's he going to do next year? And the year after that? And the year after that? He won a Super Bowl, but what did he lose? So much more. Had he placed priority in God, he would have been a better husband, a better father, a better coach. Yeah, maybe he wouldn't have won quite as many Super Bowls. When we put God first, we hear God's call for justice, for love, for compassion, and we do right by other people. The worship of God calls us to put the world, our lives, in proper perspective. And thus, from this objective point of view, we can be truly free to love everyone. And not just our biological family. But we can love and respect our earthly family. We love all best by loving God first. You know, Paul in our Galatians passage spoke of freedom in Christ. And this means that only in God can we go back to our grieving, our families, our work obligations, our financial obligations, our community issues in a way that we won't devour each other. So many community issues today are of one group putting their needs before God, their needs before others. Recently, the St. Margaret Mary Roman Catholic Church on Staten Island sold their empty school building to a local Islamic group for a mosque. The sale, once it became known, caused real violent outbursts among local residents opposed to the sale. They cited traffic issues, but the real issue became evident when at a community hearing, a soldier just recently back from Iraq, he said, "I really don't care whether the Islamic group has the school or not." But he says, "I've worked and I've fought in Iraq. I've dealt with Muslims, and I've dealt with trying to help communities be communities." And he said, "I just basically want to ask one question of both sides." And he looked to the group from the Muslim community and said, "Will you work for the good of the community?" To which they responded, "Yes." And then he asked the non-Muslim people in attendance, I think most of them were Christian, "Would you work for the good of the community?" To which they responded with a loud no. By not putting God first, they let their fear take over their lives and lost all sense of justice and compassion. That's the kind of stuff that happens when we don't put God first. Think about it. Do you think Jesus could have or would have gone to the cross if he put his mom and his brothers and sisters first? I don't think so. Real family values begins with our reorganizing our priorities so that God in Christ has our utmost attention. That's the only way we can be a child of God. By placing our heavenly parent over our earthly family. It's not easy to do. As I told the children, we see our earthly family, we don't see our heavenly father and mother. But it's what we must work hard to achieve in our lives. It's not about BMWs and Rolexes. It's about God, who is the Father and the Mother of us all. Amen.